You know, it seems that, look, over the last 12 months, I've had the opportunity to interview over 150 business owners from across the county. And lots of them, in a full myriad of sectors, are doing quite well out there. Now, we hear every day about businesses that aren't doing so well. What do you think is the key difference between businesses that are performing well within a sector and those that aren't?
I would say there's a number of variables, but by far the most important variable, in my view, would be the quality of the owner-manager. At the MD of the business. We see that every day. You know, the good business are directly, I think, the result of good decisions, clarity about the game that they're in, able to kind of pull together the resources that are required. I think those businesses that are not as successful going forward, I don't think they're as clear about the game that they're in.
What advice would you give to business owners in terms of updating their skill set to be able to compete with those at the very top of their sector?
It's no different to a game of football or hurling or rugby or whatever. You know, you have to, whatever niche of the market you're in, you have to compete with the other players in that niche, right? You don't have to be 100% better than, but you have to be that little bit better than if you want to win the game. And a bit of advice I would give to people is that one needs to come outside their own business every so often and see what's going on. You know, we become very dull if we're looking out from behind our own counter all the time, because all our customers view the business from the outside in rather than inside out, you know. And the better managers and the better businesses I see out there, you know, they are allocating a bit of time and a bit of effort at seeing who's best in the game that they're at. And they're comparing themselves against those benchmarks, you know, and they're taking the time and the effort and the resources to do that. Whereas I think the less successful business, they have their heads down and you know, it's all about how fast or how many hours can I work, how much sweat can I generate or whatever. And, you know, if something's not working, working faster won't make it work better. You know, one has to, I think, change the formula somewhat.
So for somebody to step outside their own business and look in, how can they go about doing that?
Well, certainly if they're whatever county that they're in, and say in Wexford, say the enterprise boards, the management development programs, any of those type of programs, I think just coming out from behind their own counter and participating in a program like that, I think gives them a freshness as well. And it also gives them a kind of a benchmark figure to understand that other business people around the table have much the same kind of issues as they have. And that in itself is a bit consoling, and they all kind of learn off each other, and there's a bit of synergy within the room, and I think there's a bit of freshness as well about it, you know. And I would highly recommend, you know, that there's lots of programs going on out there that, you know, I think all the managers should consider participating in those programs, but kind of look at it as an investment, as distinct from the cost of going on the programs, because most of those programs are highly subsidized anyway, you know.
And in relation to those programs, I suppose you can also look at likes of networking, any event or any class that will give business people an exposure to other business people across a myriad of sectors, because what's average in one sector might be great in another and vice versa.
You know, I think networking and kind of benchmarking and seeing what's going on out there, I think that's all that kind of brings a bit of a freshness to one's decision making, because really at the end of the day, what happens in our business is the result of the decisions that the owner manager makes, right? What influences those decisions are what's in his or her head. And who's influencing his or her head? There's all kind of the lot of the negativity that's out there. That's one influencer. But if you go to, say, go on programs or go to shows or go to networking events or whatever, there's a kind of a buzz there and there's a kind of a clarity there. I was reading a book over the Christmas, the Tom Crean's life story, right? Another good Kerry man. And there was a critical, mighty man, really, you know. But if you look at what was the basis of his success, really, and what kept him going, right? He had a purpose and he had a direction. And, you know, if I was to give advice to any businessman tomorrow morning, I would be challenging them in relation to what's your purpose in this business? What are you trying to get out of it? And what direction are you driving it? And I think one could model themselves around those two critical, I think, anchors in relation to it. You know, if it was good enough for Tom Crean, it should be good enough for most business people.
Now, you mentioned their decision-making a number of times. That's something we're not taught at school. very well or even taught in college plays. Is there a process for making a decision?
Well, there is a process there that I suppose it's about, first of all, being honest, I think, in relation to what the facts are and not to be hiding behind the situation. And I think from once you put the facts on the table, there's always a solution. You may not have the solution at that stage, but somebody has a solution. And there's a lot of help out there through the enterprise boards and the leader programs and the various agencies and that out there. And, you know, these people and agencies are more than helpful to try and help people. But nobody is going to help somebody who won't expose themselves in relation to what their current situation is. And I think there's a lot of people maybe not honest enough with themselves in relation to where they are in the business at the moment. It comes back a bit to the management information systems and you know, not being up to date and all of that. That they're not maybe as au fait with the real facts of where they are as they should be. Yeah, but the better ones are.
And for those making decisions, do you think that business people out there in general weigh up all of the options and the pros and the cons of each of them before they make decisions?
I think there's a certain amount of that kind of, I suppose, structured decision-making. But entrepreneurs generally are quite intuitive. And they kind of view something and they make a decision and they go with it. And most decisions actually can be implemented. It's always easier, obviously, to implement a good decision. But even maybe not a great decision can be adjusted as one goes on in relation to achieving whatever output one goes at, really, you know.
I know one of the big challenges facing businesses across County Wexford today is lack of sales. Now, looking at the service-based businesses, there's two types, you know, business-to-business or business-to-consumer. If we have a quick chat about those, let's focus on the business-to-consumer because that's the biggest portion of the market out there. For those that are lacking in sales, what advice would you give them?
Obviously, if you look at the top line of your profit and loss account, you know, it's your sales, and that's made up of two things. It's made up of the number of widgets that you sell by the average price per widget, right? So it's a numbers game, right? A lot of people are not naturally salespeople, but, you know, if we don't have sales, we don't have a business, really. So, again, it's about kind of understanding who's your target market, what's turning them on, is your proposition matching in with that. But, you know, if your proposition to the market is mismatching the market that you're at, you know, no matter how good a salesperson you are, you're at nothing. You know, so, you know, we talk a lot about good and bad salespeople. I think the issue is actually more fundamental than that. It's about getting the package or the proposition matching more precisely with the needs of the client, your target client at that particular stage. And I think the better that match is, the easier it is to sell.
So once you get the product market fit right, what's next?
Obviously, you have to get the pricing right then. You have to get the unit cost of producing or delivering it right. Because, you know, they're all in commercial business. And at the end of the day, you have to have a net surplus in order to do that. And that's the role, I suppose, of the owner manager is a bit like the lady baking the Christmas cake. He or she has a lot of variables to play around with. And they have to get the mix of the formula right so that the cake at the end of the day, that part of that cake is for themselves. Like if you look at the average probably owner manager out there today in Wexford or anywhere like that, right, they're spending most of the week working for somebody else. You know, they're very little of the week, if any, for themselves. And, you know, that's not a sustainable situation going forward. You know, they're working for the payroll, they're working for the banks, they're working for the suppliers, they're working for whoever. But they're very little of their cake is for themselves. But the better ones are fighting for a bigger part of that cake, that net outcome for themselves on a continuing basis. And I think it's a state of mind as much as anything else, you know.
There's a famous quote out there that says a business is something you should be working on, not working in.
Yeah, to me, a business is just a formula for creating wealth. And, you know, some people look at that business maybe as a vocational way of life, and that's fine if that's their definition of what a bit of what success is. We'll all have different definitions of it. But my view would be very commercial in the sense of I think one is in business to optimize one's bottom line. What one does with that bottom line then afterwards, that's a different situation. But if you don't have a bottom line, it's not very sexy to be in business. It's not a great proposition, really. You know, if you're fighting every week to make the payroll or whatever, there isn't much pleasure in being in business in that kind of scenario.
Do you find that business people across the county have taken the tough decisions early on, or have they waited to the last minute, or maybe in some cases, maybe regretted that they haven't made them at all?
I think the good ones cut early and cut deep and got that cost base back to match their revenue quite quickly. I think a lot of people were in denial for a long time, with the result that whatever resources and surpluses that might have built up during the good years, they got wasted away in probably the first two or three years of the cotton dip, with the result that if you look at the balance sheets now of more small businesses, there's no surplus or very little surplus left in them, you know. But the good ones did it. They did it fast. They did it deep. And, you know, they're the people who are in a position now to exploit the opportunities that are out there at the moment.
And in terms of opportunities, from your own insight into the market out there, do you think they're getting better or worse?
I think there's always opportunities. And I suppose one person's issue or problem is somebody else's opportunity. And, you know, there's a cohort of business people out there, again, they're the minority, state 80-20 rule type of thing, who are at the moment exploiting the kind of the problems other people have. And that's a good commercial decision, and I've no problem with that, you know. And they'll be the people who will gain most out of the current recession. They'll be, and you know, when the cycle moves on again, they won't be the last one in the cycle as well. You know, that they know when to move. Intuitively, they read the market that little bit better, I think, you know. And they're out and they're watching what's going on, and that's a bit smarter, really. You know, business success is not about hard work. I'm fully convinced of that. It's about being kind of working your head a small bit, being a little bit smarter than the guy down the road, and kind of understanding what game you're in.
What impact do you think the internet is going to have long term on businesses?
Well, the internet is another channel to the market. And it'd be interesting to see how that will evolve over the period. But I think people have to be careful that it's not a solution for everybody. And there's lots and lots of disappointment in relation to what it is capable of doing for lots of people or whatever, right? And the whole kind of social media and all of that. Sometimes I think one should kind of critically look at that and say, for the amount of investment that we're putting into that whole area and the lack of return we're getting from it, if we refocus our scarce resources elsewhere, would we get a better bang for our buck in the short term? But it depends very much on the niche of the market you're in. It depends very much on, I suppose, what one's ambition is going forward and who one's target market is, but and the age profile that you're after, you know. But it's there. It's another channel to the market. It's an opportunity. But I think there's also a big risk and threat to a number of other businesses as well, you know.
On the business-to-business side of the house, if you were put in tomorrow to run a business-to-business service provider, what's the first thing you would do to build that business?
Well, I suppose, again, the first thing before you build anything is to see what's the foundation of that business, what's the strengths and the profile of that business, right? Where is it positioned in the market in relation to its target? Is that an attractive target to be in? Is the proposition that they have in relation to it correct? And I think whenever they get those fundamentals right, then look at the cost base and say, can we get our unit cost down? Can we get our processes and our efficiencies right in order to get our unit cost down that will allow us to make a margin of whatever the going price is? And again, it's about one needs to build volume into that situation as well. Also, obviously, the whole thing of trade credit, you know, selling is easy enough in one sense to sell if you sell it out on credit and creating debtors. But if you can't keep the working capital moving, you one won't have a business. So it's to try and get the balance between the quality of the customers and to make margin out of them and obviously to get paid. Because the customers know about you if you don't get paid.
Probably one of the best business people to come out of Wexford over the last 20 years is Bert Allen of Slaney Foods and Irish Country Meats. Joe Hyland was on the show recently with me from Irish Country Meats and praised Bert very, very highly. I haven't had him on the show yet, but I'm hoping to have him now this year. What are your thoughts on him as a business person? He's achieved phenomenal success.
Yes, and you know, every county, every country needs people like Bert Allen and Joe as well, the two mighty men, really, you know. But again, Bert, from what I know of Bert over the years, he's a real entrepreneur. He understood the market. He went for it. He was, you know, he wasn't afraid to have a go. And he was a man of his word. And I think any farmer in Wexford would say that about Bert. He was a man of his word over 30 years. And I think that's a big, big plus for anyone.
You say he knew his market. You know, do you think market research plays a big part in people's head like Bert Allen and others that have achieved that level of success?
You see, there's different types of market research. There's what the books tell you and there's what's the practicality, right? The best market research is actually understanding by doing and being out there in the market and see what's going on or whatever. A lot of the kind of theoretical market research, I think one, particularly for small business, one has to be kind of careful about that and in the interpretation of that, really. It's about being out in the market, talking to people, understanding, smelling the opportunities, basically, kind of understanding, you know, where do we need to put the proposition together in order to exploit the situation. And, you know, it's not a science as such, it's an art, I believe, in relation to, and entrepreneurs have that, you know, they kind of sense something and they know what'll work intuitively, and you know, sometimes I go back afterwards and try and prove it by kind of a formal market research or whatever, but the initial thing is based on intuition really, and that feel for it, you know. And I think Bert and Joe and there's lots of other people you know, have demonstrated the capability of that over the years, you know.
Again and again over the last half an hour, Blaise, you've mentioned understanding the customer, understanding the buyer, understanding the buying process. Is the advice you're giving to business people out there today to go out there and speak and listen more to what their customers have to say?
Yeah, I think listen and speak, obviously, but listen more and observe and get a feel and kind of smell what works, really, you know. And, you know, do it in a quite informal way, not necessarily going out with a checklist or whatever and ticking boxes. I don't think that works, really, for most people. It's about kind of understanding, just getting a feel and getting people to have a go with you. You know, kind of some sort of an alliance and try and get into the royal we in some way. You know, somebody has an issue, somebody else has a solution, is trying to marry the two of those and see will it work commercially.
Well, Blaise, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you for coming in to speak to us this morning, and I wish you continued success with the Management Resource Institute.